the Agile brand.
Welcome to the B2B Agility Podcast, where we look at the factors that drive success in B2B marketing, with a focus on the people, processes, data, and platforms that make B2B brands stand out and thrive in a competitive marketplace. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom, advising Fortune 1000 brands on MarTech, marketing operations, and CX, best-selling author and speaker. Before we get started, I wanted to let you know that my latest book, Priority is Action, 7 Principles for Better Strategies, Decisions, and Outcomes, is now available. In it, I give ideas and insights for leaders and teams that need to make meaningful progress on their priorities. After all, our priorities are what we do, not what we say we'd like to do. You can find Priority is Action on Amazon or learn more on my website, gregkilstrom.com. Now let's get on to the show. New data from Exactly's 2024 sales compensation report revealed that an alarming 91% of companies do not expect their AEs to meet or exceed quota. What's more is that despite this lack of confidence, 70% of organizations still rely on spreadsheets for compensation planning, creating revenue forecasts and incentive plans filled with holes. Today, we're going to talk about sales compensation processes and the state of incentivization as it stands today. To help me discuss this topic, I'd like to welcome Arnab Mishra, CEO at Exactly. Arnab, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Greg. Thanks for having me. I'm really looking forward to this discussion.
Yeah, looking forward to talking about this with you. Why don't we get started, though, with you giving a little background on yourself as well as your role at Exactly.
Sure. So I am currently the CEO of Exactly. And for folks who don't know Exactly, we are a leader in intelligent revenue solutions. We provide a platform that enables companies to maximize revenue quantity and quality through go-to-market planning, seller performance management, and sales predictability. And obviously, compensation is a very big part of our solution set. And so that's what we do. I've been with the company for about 6 years now. Overall, I've got about 20 years of experience in B2B enterprise SaaS technologies. Prior to Exactly, I worked at 2 kind of earlier stage startups that we successfully grew until they were acquired by larger public companies. And then I spent some time working for those larger companies. So I've had a chance to see kind of smaller company scale, as well as what it takes to run a larger organization. And functionally, I've kind of worked across all the major functions of a tech company at this point, but my primary sort of specialization has always been in products, especially scaling products into kind of high growth market offerings. And then before I worked in technology, I started my career a little bit differently. I started in investment banking and private equity, but then made that switch into technology a couple of decades ago.
Got it. All right. Well, yeah, looking forward to talking about this. So yeah, we're going to talk about compensation here and talk about the report I mentioned at the top of the show. So we're going to start by talking about a few of the findings in the report. So, you know, going back to that stat that I started the show with, that, you know, 70% of organizations still rely on spreadsheets for compensation planning, creating revenue forecasts and incentive plans. In the year 2024, we're still using spreadsheets for this. What's going on here? And even if it's obvious, why is this not a good thing?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, how companies conceive of the problem space that they're thinking about when they think about compensation. I think a lot of companies, you know, that aren't maybe as far along on the maturity cycle, when they think of sales comp, they think of the problem a bit more narrowly to be the actual calculation of compensation. And when you think about it in that way, spreadsheets, frankly, seem to be adequate because spreadsheets can run calculations. Right. But I think the reality is that there's so much more to compensation when it comes to thinking about how you incentivize sales reps to engage in the behaviors and the strategies that you need to deliver on a company's objectives. You know, we talk to customers a lot about the power of incentives in, you know, driving companies to hit their objectives. And when you think about it that way, kind of much more broadly beyond just calculations, it becomes pretty obvious that spreadsheets are pretty woefully inadequate for that purpose.
Yeah. So also, according to the research, 63% of respondents are planning for AE attrition rates between 10 and 40%. What does this tell you about the state of the industry and particularly in terms of compensation?
Yeah, I saw that stat too. You know, I think what it tells us is we are not doing a very good job as an industry setting sales reps up for success.
Yeah.
You know, I think from our perspective, supporting sales reps requires companies to think, you know, holistically about incentives, but also about all of the other elements necessary to set the context and the supporting infrastructure, if you will, for sales reps to be successful. You know, we think about that sort of as three parts. You know, the one part is being able to plan for your sales teams and using technology so you can, you know, rigorously determine how to divide up territories, allocate quotas against those territories, and determine how many sales reps you need to cover those territories, right? If the planning piece isn't done well, you end up with a sales team that has, you know, frankly, their hands tied behind their backs a bit when they're doing battle in the marketplace. The second piece is obviously creating that incentive system that ties the needed behaviors from the reps to the objectives in that plan. And again, investing in technology there makes that process much more seamless. And it's critical in making sure those incentives are appropriately implemented and utilized in the day-to-day activities of the reps. And then the third thing we think about is how do you provide the reps and the managers with tools that they can use to manage their business on a day-to-day basis, especially kind of activities as it relates to managing their pipeline and forecasts and understanding which deals are likely to close and what steps are needed to close those deals. So we, you know, advocate for a more holistic view, compensation being a very important part of that. But it's that holistic view that I think would allow those attrition rates to be a bit lower, much lower probably, because the reps will be set up for success.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, those attrition rates, I mean, there's not only is there lost opportunity there, but, you know, there's some real costs associated with that. And, you know, to go back to the report, you know, 40%, 47%, almost 50, you know, almost half of the companies that were part of the research report that, you know, less than 90% of new hire AEs will last through the quota productivity ramp period. So, you know, there's a lot of potential wasted resources, time, and effort to replace those roles, let alone, you know, if they weren't able to ramp up and achieve their quota in the first place, just wasted time there as well. I think you touched on some of this already, but, you know, what exactly is going on here? And, you know, what would you say is causing this?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think this is an indication that, you know, companies are wasting a lot of time, energy, resources, and onboarding reps. You know, there's another sort of related interesting stat in the study that 77% of organizations believe their new hire ramp is 6 months or less. And I found that to be really interesting because that stat was true across verticals, company sizes, deal sizes, size of sales teams. And it's hard to believe that such a diverse group of companies with such a diverse set of products and services that they're selling will all have the same ramp period.
Right.
But I think it's sort of indicative of the underlying problem. You know, I think what it tells us is that companies are generally not being very data-driven and analytical about what it takes for reps to ramp, how long those ramps last, what good looks like in terms of ramping. And I found kind of in general, when you ask sales leaders about how long it takes a rep to ramp, you know, their answers tend to be kind of based on rules of thumb. You know, we generally advocate for taking a much more data-driven approach to determining, you know, this notion of ramps and what it takes to get a sales person productive. You know, we have applications that do a great job of leveraging AI to predict ramp times for reps, and companies can use those predictions to understand ramp times and then incorporate them into the management of their sales teams.
To all the B2B marketers out there, the B2B Marcom Summit is the region's largest annual gathering of B2B marketing, advertising, PR, communications, and media professionals. It brings together professionals from brands, professional services firms, tech companies, and more to discuss industry trends, best practices, and challenges, all focused on B2B. The B2B Marcom Summit will take place May 23, 2024 in Reston, Virginia, in the Washington, D.C. metro area, and just a few minutes from the Dulles Airport. I can't wait to join you there. Register today at b2bsummit.co, that's b2bsummit.co, and use the code AGILE15 for 15% off your registration fee. Before we get back to the show, I just wanted to remind you to hit the follow or subscribe button on your app to make sure you get notified when new episodes of this show are available. Now let's get back to the show. So to look at this from the sales leader perspective here for a minute, you know, I want to talk about and get some advice for those sales leaders looking to revamp their compensation processes. Obviously, there's a lot of companies that have some room to improve here. So, you know, given all these challenges that we've talked about, and certainly I'm sure there's more challenges as well, where should sales leaders start in their compensation planning and plans?
Yeah, I think, you know, point one is, you know, thinking holistically, you know, about the process. You know, I think one of the sort of, you know, interesting pieces of the study was when they were asked kind of like, what were the key things kind of keeping them up at night? You know, we found that market changes was sort of like the number two thing that sales leaders worry about after competition. And I think that speaks to kind of how volatile of a world we're in right now. And I think the implication is that not only do you need to get your comp right, but you need to be able to do it in such a way that you have agility in your organization to deal with all of the changes that are happening in the marketplace. And that agility is core. I mean, we ask sales people to be agile and, you know, duck and weave and get deals done. The same thing needs to happen on the operations side. So in the context of that, we asked, you know, sales leaders to really think about a few things when it comes to compensation. One is, how do you build agility in? We think you do that by focusing on automation. You know, if you automate a lot of the more kind of mundane tasks that are sort of part of the compensation process, you free your teams up to do a lot of the value-added strategic work that they need to do that can contribute to agility. The second thing we talk about is, you know, facilitating collaboration. You know, the reality is that, you know, managing the performance of your sales team is very much kind of a team sport. And sometimes the hardest thing to do is to get everyone aligned. And so leveraging technology to enable that collaboration can be really powerful to moving quickly and adapting to the marketplace. And we think about that a lot within the skins of our software. We obviously integrate to all the ways that collaboration happens in the world today. And so that, I think, is the second thing that we think about. And then the third thing that we think about, and, you know, we ask our sales leaders to think about as they're designing their systems, is making sure that you're putting in place the ability to surface data when you need to make key decisions, right? And this is one of the downfalls of spreadsheets. If all your data is locked in spreadsheets, it's really hard to get to that data at those key moments when you need to make decisions. Obviously, software can be a really big, important way of improving that. You know, we do a lot of work leveraging AI and analytics, and we have a new generative AI offer we call Exactly Copilot that really is built to surface that information at that key moment you're trying to make that decision to drive the business forward and give it agility. And so those are the things that we ask our sales leaders to think about. And we think the design of their implementations and the way they structure their system should kind of, you know, be a reflection of those key principles.
Yeah. And so, you know, bearing in mind that there's certainly a wide variety of organizations and sales organization structures, and, you know, as well as your great points just now about agility and all of those things, what does successful sales compensation look like? You know, can you kind of paint a picture of like what is this versus as you know, things managed in spreadsheets and all those kinds of things? You know, what does it look like?
Yeah. So I think, you know, there's two aspects to it. One is an operational efficiency aspect to it, right? There's typically in most companies, there's an inordinate amount of time spent on managing sales comp. I think if you put in a technology-enabled sales comp process, you will be spending a lot less time managing it, and you'll have, you know, much fewer errors. You'll have, you know, much greater adherence to the plans. You'll have much greater transparency of the data. The reps will see, you know, how they're doing on a day-to-day basis. You'll not be wrestling with data integration issues where you're trying to get data from one system into another to do the sales comp. You'll have much greater security and compliance. So there's a bunch of operational things that really get handled well if this is done correctly. And then the second side of it is actual top-line performance improvement, right? If you're doing this well, the incentive plan and the implementation of the plan will tie directly back to the goals of the company. And so what that means is the incentive plan should be driving the behaviors that you need to go hit that goal. So sales reps have a very clear understanding of what do I need to get done to help the company be successful and to help, you know, me as a sales rep be successful. And that leads to top line revenue improvement, you know, better attainment across the board of quotas. And that is sort of the, you know, overall sort of top line impact. And so you get both, you know, if I summarize it, the top line impact as well as an efficiency impact. So it can have a very meaningful, you know, overall impact on the P&L of a company.
Yeah. And so to follow on that from a measurement perspective, I mean, certainly you know, sales is a metric that sales leaders are very much attuned to. But, you know, to kind of take the meta view of this, let's just say, you know, how do sales leaders measure the, you know, the success of their compensation plans and incentivization?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's the overall system, the way to think about measuring it is, you know, how well, from my perspective, how well are your reps doing, right? What is your overall attainment against quota? Are you, you know, typically in most companies, it's not just quota attainment, but you're probably trying to do some strategic things. You're trying to emphasize certain products, certain geographies, certain segments. You know, do you get the results that you need? So the thing that we always, you know, ask our customers is, you know, when you've put that plan in place and when you put that plan next to the corporate goals that you had for the business, how well do those line up? And if a plan is well designed and well implemented, you'll see a very close correlation between the sales compensation plan and the achievement of the company's objectives.
Yeah. And I would imagine that then it becomes a lot easier to do with the right platform and analytics and numbers versus maybe somebody that's really handy with a spreadsheet can do some of that, but it probably takes some more, a little more sophisticated system, would you say?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, look, I think aligning sales compensation with corporate goals is a highly strategic function in any company, right? Because you're effectively talking about taking strategy and translating it into the day-to-day activities of a very important group of people in your company. If your team is focused on wrangling spreadsheets and moving data from one place to another and doing version control on your spreadsheets, they're not doing the strategic work that you need them to do. And so that's why we think it's so important for companies to get off of spreadsheets. If nothing else, it is to enable those people to do the strategic value-added work that they need to be doing in order for you to be hitting your strategic goals.
Yeah, yeah, great point. I wanted to follow up on the report real quick here. You know, there's a lot of great insights in there. Definitely recommend, we'll link to it in the show notes as well. Recommend everybody take a look at it. But, you know, what was one of the most impactful insights that you found when you were reviewing this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was the fact that, you know, market changes was the key thing that companies think about and the agility required there. Yeah. I think, you know, one stat that surprised me was that, you know, 91% of companies don't expect to see their AEs meet or exceed quota.
Yeah.
And I think at a certain level, when you look at that stat, you know, companies are admitting that they're not able to set quotas in a fair and equitable way so that, you know, some, you know, plurality or majority of their reps are able to hit quota. And I think the reality is that, you know, providing fair and equitable quotas is one of the most powerful ways to motivate sales reps. You know, if reps feel like, you know, their companies are being thoughtful about their quotas and putting kind of aggressive but achievable quotas in front of them, then both the sales rep and the company wins, right? The rep has an opportunity to make their full comp by working hard and hitting those aggressive but achievable targets. And the company wins by maximizing the quota achievement of their reps. And so this is an area that we spend a lot of time talking to our customers about as well. You know, people get, you know, focused on the execution of the comp plan, which is very important. But what we've also realized is that setting of the infrastructure and the groundwork for the reps, and one of the key pieces being their quotas, is also extremely important as well.
Yeah, because I mean, I would imagine the reps feel it on some level, right? Whether or not it's explicit or not, right? If, you know, if there's an expectation that, you know, a very large percentage of them are going to fail to achieve their goals, like that somehow is it's either directly or indirectly felt. And so, you know, I would imagine, you know, when things are done in a better, more strategic way, like that has a net like morale increase, if nothing else, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You're spot on. I think, you know, reps want to know that the company has their best interests at heart. And I think that is one great way for a company to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Arnab, thanks so much for joining the show. One last question before we wrap up here. You've given a lot of great insights and advice. And again, definitely recommend everybody checks out the report. What's the one next best action that you'd recommend for those listening who want to do something to improve their incentivization today?
Yeah, I mean, our advice and my advice is always start by kind of educating yourself on the current state of the art, especially for companies that are either still on spreadsheets or haven't spent a lot of time thinking about their incentive compensation programs. You know, we at Exactly spend a lot of time helping companies, you know, in this regard. And before they even engage with us in an evaluation process of our software, you know, we're happy to sit down with companies and help them think through and help them help educate them on the current state of what people are doing, what good looks like. And then from there, we sort of ask companies to determine which part of the overall compensation process is the most painful slash the most valuable for them, and to really just kick off a project to work on maybe that piece as a first step, you know. And as you work on that, you know, process, think about, you know, the people, processes, and technology that you need to deliver the desired results. You know, in general, we don't believe in boiling the ocean. You know, we believe that optimizing a company's sales performance is truly a journey that requires companies to go through a varying kind of levels of maturity. And we're as a company here to support our customers in that journey. And I think, you know, partnering with experts, you know, like Exactly and experts who are out there in this area can be a real way of accelerating progress.
That's great. Wonderful. Well, again, I'd like to thank Arnab Mishra, CEO at Exactly, for joining the show. You can learn more about Arnab and Exactly by following the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening to the B2B Agility Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes of the show at www.b2bagility.com. That's b2bagility.com. While you're there, check out my series of best-selling Agile brand guides covering a wide variety of marketing technology topics, or you can search for Greg Kilstrom on Amazon. Until next time, stay focused and stay agile.
The Agile Brand.